from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspic. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspic, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple and accessible to all. Today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. All right, coming up on today's show, we have a real Major League regular season baseball game to talk about, a Giants game for the first time in over 300 days. So I'm very excited. It turned out not to be the result that Giants fans were hoping for, but, you know, there were a lot of positives in this game, believe it or not. You wouldn't know it from some of the commentary I've read. But we're going to talk all about the game, break it down, what went right, what went wrong, and then we'll preview, you know, game two. And this is how a baseball season works. It's great to be back doing this again because it's the same thing every year. Game one happens. We have huge overreactions to one game, and then you settle in to the regular season and you get a new opportunity today. You get a chance to play well and go 1-1, and then all of a sudden you have a chance to take a series, and you know, so everything can swing on the next game, and that's the beauty of baseball, is you always have a chance at redemption the next day. So a lot to talk about from this game. Before the game started, we had many Giants kneeling for the national anthem, and Mookie Betts on the Dodgers also knelt for the national anthem. So a huge powerhouse player like Betts kneeling sends a powerful message. So that was really relevant. No other Dodgers were among those kneeling. And then once the game got started, apparently Mike Yastrzemski reached base on an error to start the game. We never saw it. ESPN did not capture this first pitch of the season for the Giants, but apparently Mike Yastrzemski reached on an error. Eventually, it became clear that the move was to mute the ESPN broadcast, pull up the MLB at Bat app, and put on KNBR, where we had John Miller and Dave Fleming. And it just took a little bit of messing around to get the audio synced up just right, but that was definitely the move there. So I'm going to go ahead and recommend that for all future national broadcasts. They really had me when they were doing an interview with a player from another team during the game when it was a key situation with like runners on base and they weren't even talking about the game at all. So I just had to get that off my chest. But the Giants hung tough in this game for the first six innings. It all fell apart in the seventh. They did end up losing 8-1. But we'll talk about what actually went quite right in the first six innings. So in the first, they did have a little bit of a threat. Yastrzemski reached on the error. Wilmer Flores flew out, and then Pablo Sandoval hit a ground ball to second base that actually hit Yastrzemski. It did look like he was getting out, trying to get out of the way. Kind of a sneaky genius move if he actually meant to get hit there, because that looked like a double play ball, but it ends up being ruled a single for Sandoval. Yastrzemski is out as the runner being hit by the ball. So then with Sandoval on first, it brought up Dickerson, who singled to left. And so the Giants had a threat there in the first inning against Dustin May, who was starting, by the way, because Kershaw at the last minute went on the injured list with back tightness. So I wouldn't be surprised if this was some gamesmanship by the Dodgers and they knew that Kershaw was going to have to go on the injured list maybe yesterday even, or who knows how long in the past they knew it. And then they waited till the last minute to say, never mind, Dustin May is going to start. So it kind of threw the Giants' plans for a loop and their preparation for Kershaw. So they had probably a totally different lineup prepared to face Kershaw, the one with a ton of righties in it. And then this lineup is apparently the lineup against righties without, you know, Brandon Belt. We wouldn't see Joe McCarthy. Otherwise, we would have seen Belt. I know McCarthy was playing right, but we would have had just people moving around and Belt would have been in there instead. And then just thinking about it a little further, it would have allowed Sandoval to DH, so you wouldn't have to have Pence in there against a righty. So the injuries are kind of throwing the Giants off right now. I know I've been critical at times of Belt and Longoria and their potential impact on this team, but those are two guys they were expecting to be here. They're able to cover it, but it's not an ideal lineup when those two guys are out. But anyway, so Hunter Pence does come up there with two on and two out and against a really tough righty in Dustin May. I mean, I thought that the matchup against Kershaw was going to be more favorable for the Giants than the one against May. I think May is really, really good. Kershaw is not the pitcher he once was. And if you're able to load up a bunch of right-handed hitters against him, I thought the Giants had a pretty good chance. So anyway, the inning ends. Hunter Pence gets totally jammed and grounds out to Dustin May. But then in the bottom of the first, it becomes apparent that Cueto is better than he was when he briefly came back last year, coming back from the Tommy John surgery. So Cueto was very much a bright spot in this game for the Giants. He was doing incredible, like, hesitation type moves that he does on the mound, throwing off the Dodgers' timing, just getting them off balance and then blowing them away with low 90s fastballs and fooling them with changeups. Just really good pitching by Cueto. And then in the third inning, this is when it got interesting for the Giants. Tyler Heineman, making his Giants debut, hits a bunt single to the left side of the infield because everyone was shifted over to the right. So it doesn't just happen to the Giants. It happens to every team where they shift dramatically and you can take the single with the bunt. Just take note that even the Dodgers, you know, are doing this. And so when it happens to the Giants, everyone's going to freak out and say, it's Gabe Kapler and his defense. It wasn't able to cover this obvious bunt play, but every team does it and every team has a chance to take advantage of it. So then Mike Yastrzemski singles, hits a rocket to right field for a single. Wilmer Flores lines a single to center, which loads the bases with no outs for Pablo Sandoval. So this is the chance the Giants had to really gain some separation from the Dodgers. But what ends up happening, Sandoval hits a sacrifice fly to left. The runner's able to score Heineman, but Yastrzemski is unable to advance to third because, you know, he wouldn't have been able to make it. Obviously, Flores stays at first. So then it's first and second, one out. Dickerson strikes out and Hunter Pence grounds out to third. And I will repeat, Dustin May is an extremely tough pitcher. He's throwing 100 miles an hour with huge movement, nasty slider, just really tough opponent. I mean, the Dodgers are the best team in baseball and the Giants have to play them to start the season. So that's kind of, to me, the summary of this game is the Giants lost to the best team in baseball. Surprise, surprise. In the bottom of the fourth, Cueto gets the first two outs. Corey Seager doubles to left. Kike Hernandez hits a bloop single to center. Let's just bear in mind it was a bloop single to center. Scores the tying run. Peterson singles. It's first and third. AJ Pollock walks. Bases loaded, two outs. Cueto, you know, he's allowed 1, 2, 3, 4 straight base runners. And then up comes Austin Barnes with the bases loaded and Cueto's able to get him to ground out. But to me, it did look like he was done. And if you really want to win this game, if it's game 7 of the World Series, you take Cueto out for the top of the lineup coming up next with two lefties and a righty. It goes Muncy, Betts, Bellinger. I think you absolutely are justified in going to a lefty there, especially first start of the season. Cueto's not as stretched out as he could have been. And the fact is that it worked. I mean, the Giants put up zeros for the next few innings there. So it's not like they took out Cueto and then boom, they allowed a bunch of runs. They continued to put up zeros. So that's a point that needs to be emphasized. All right, coming up in the second half of the show, we'll continue to run through the game and talk about where it all went wrong in that fateful seventh inning, Dodgers getting 5 runs. So we'll break that down and we'll kind of look at this from a macro perspective, take a step back and put this into context. But first, I want to talk about rockauto.com. One reason that we repair and maintain our cars is to save money that we can then use for more important things like the mortgage or food. So why would you choose to spend 30, 50, 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or new car dealership? Random example, a fuel pump assembly for a Honda Odyssey costs $353.99 at Advance, which is a big chain store, and just $216.79 at rockauto.com. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and reliably low. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Whether it's for your classic car or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Go to RockAuto.com now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. All right, as promised, here in the second half of the show, we'll continue breaking down this Giants 8-1 loss on opening day last night. So where we left off, it's still 1-1 after four innings. Giants are hanging in there. They had a big opportunity, bases loaded, nobody out in the third, and they only got one run out of it. That's just a scenario where if you're playing the best team in baseball, you just have to come away with more than one run. They had a chance. Like, one big hit in this whole game could have been very different. So in the fifth inning, Heinemann singles again, this time on a line drive to right. Yastrzemski singles again to right. So it's first and third, nobody out, because Heinemann, good base running, gets to third on the Yastrzemski single. But then again against Dustin May, Wilmer Flores up there, first and third, no outs, strikes out looking. Nasty slider just nips the low and in corner of the strike zone to Flores. So you tip your hat a little bit. Yes, you want and hope for Flores to come through, but at the end of the day, I mean, they're facing a nasty, nasty pitcher. So after May strikes out Flores, Sandoval is up next, and the Dodgers take out May and go get a left-handed pitcher. And so I thought that they would pinch hit for Sandoval because historically much worse against left-handed pitching than right-handed pitching. So it was the first chance to kind of go with somebody else and do your platoon thing, and instead they let Sandoval hit right-handed. I have a feeling it had to do with, like, opening day, trust your guy. You know, it's more of a, we heard from Kapler, they're going to balance the analytics with what the players want and the emotions and what the players care for. And I understand that, especially to open the season. Kapler made some highly publicized moves that players were unhappy with early in his tenure in Philadelphia. So perhaps he doesn't want to hurt the pride of Sandoval in that situation. And he is a switch hitter. It's not like it was the Dodgers bringing in a lefty to face a lefty. That's a little bit different. Sandoval was able to flip around and bat right-handed there against Caleb Ferguson, but he swings through a couple of 95-ish mile an hour fastballs. He's able to foul off one or two, and then he hits just a weak little tapper back to the pitcher, and they throw to second for the force out. And then Tyler Heinemann has come halfway down the line at third, and Kike Hernandez just runs at him, and they're able to get him in a rundown trying to get back to third base. So it's a double play, and the Giants do not score on a first and third no-out situation. So, I mean, they had Austin Slater, they had Darren Ruff, and they had Donovan Solano available there to face Caleb Ferguson. And I'm just going to go out on a limb and say, if this is deeper in the season, if Darren Ruff has proven that he can crush left-handed pitching, then that's a spot where they're going to go to him. But Ruff was struggling in the exhibition games. He was striking out a lot. So it looks bad if you go to Darren Ruff and he just, like, strikes out on three pitches. There's going to be a lot of criticism for Kapler there. Why did you take out Sandoval? He did so well against lefties last season. So I get it. I totally get it. I just think that the correct move was probably to go to a right-handed hitter, not Sandoval from the right side there. So anyway, in the bottom of the fifth, in comes Drew Smyly, and boy, did he look pretty good. I mean, he strikes out Max Muncy, getting that lefty-lefty matchup to lead off the inning. Then we had Wilmer Flores make an error on Mookie Betts, just a routine-ish ground ball right to him, and he bobbled it. And Betts was able to reach. I think I am concerned about the defense of Wilmer Flores having to play third base every day without Evan Longoria. So yes, I think the bat will make up for it ultimately, but you're going to get some shaky defense from Flores out there. So then a walk to Cody Bellinger on four pitches. That's not good from Smiley. But then he gets Justin Turner to line out to center. I mean, nice running play by Yastrzemski on the warning track. And then he gets Corey Seager to strike out. So overall, just a pretty impressive appearance by Smiley. Two Ks on Muncy and Seager. So then the Giants' bats basically go quiet from here on out. And Rico Garcia made his Giants debut and looked really good going through the bottom of the sixth. And then in the seventh, it's the top of the order for the Dodgers. Again, it's Muncy, Betts, Bellinger, and in comes Tyler Rogers. And I thought it was super interesting to me. It was like an extremely high leverage situation in the Giants' minds, in Kapler's mind. Top of the order, like fourth time they've come up. They're in the groove of the game. They're getting comfortable at the plate. And you go to one of your. It's telling that they went to Rogers because I think they thought he was probably their best reliever left. And so that was the save situation right there, the top of the order, tie game, seventh inning. And I get it. I agree with the decision. It just didn't happen to work out, but I do think it was the right decision. One pitch, he gets Muncy to ground out. You're feeling good about Tyler Rogers, but then Mookie Betts, you know, maybe the best player in the game, not named Mike Trout, maybe, hits a single to left. Then Cody Bellinger hits a double down the left field line. So it's first, excuse me, it's second and third, one out. I mean, Bellinger and Betts, those guys are unbelievable. So you can't, it's not like Kapler made the wrong move or Rogers can't handle the pressure. No, two of the best players in the game got hits in the inning. So then up comes Justin Turner, infield in. They get a weak little ground ball to Donovan Solano, and Solano throws home with the infield in. Of course, Betts breaks for the plate, and Betts is able to beat the throw. Mookie Betts is one of the best base runners in the game. He's extremely fast. He beat a throw home with the infield in on a ground ball right to the infielder. What can you do? You can't really do anything else. You just have to credit Mookie Betts there. So then the whole thing unravels. Corey Seager hits a comebacker to Rogers. They're able to get Cody Bellinger in a rundown, but it took long enough that everybody advanced. Seager advanced to second, the other runner advanced to third. And then a backbreaker, Kike Hernandez, hits a single to right that scores two with two out. So then Danny Jimenez made his major league debut, the Rule 5 pick, and he just totally didn't have it. Issued three walks and a single and ended up allowing a couple of runs. Apparently, there was some kind of controversy about the Giants taking out Brandon Crawford for a pinch hitter in the top of the seventh, but I absolutely can't fault Gabe Kapler for taking out Crawford. Come on, are we going to pretend like Brandon Crawford is some kind of superstar out there on the field? They needed to score. It was 1-1 in the top of the seventh, and the Dodgers bring in a really tough lefty to face Crawford. There's a reason they're doing that because they know that they have a huge advantage with the lefty against Crawford and that he has virtually no chance of doing anything. And so going to Donovan Solano there made all the sense in the world. He didn't get a hit. He wasn't able to get the guy out at home on the throw, but that was all Mookie Betts. And then that later play in the seventh when there was just a little mix-up where Solano flipped to Mauricio Dubon and they weren't able to get the force out at second base. Solano probably should have just thrown to first. But come on, let's not overreact and pretend like, you know, Crawford against a lefty in a tie game late against the Dodgers is a good idea. I mean, you need to score to win, and they took a chance to score. It's not like Solano's an awful player on defense. I mean, did we really notice awful defense from him last year? No. I just think it was a baseball move and it was a baseball game and it just went one way. And the Dodgers are by far the better team, and the Giants had their chances, but the Dodgers opened the floodgates in the seventh inning, period. End of discussion. It's one game. You move on and you have another one tomorrow, today. So anyway, the rest of the line, I'm not going to pay too much attention to, because if this was a close game, you're not seeing Danny Jimenez. You're not seeing Connor Menez. And so the fact that those guys gave up some runs is whatever. So the Giants lose 8-1. They had their chances. Cueto apparently not happy about being pulled in the fourth inning. He said, you have to adjust to everything in life, but it's uncomfortable. It's the first time I've experienced this in my career, and I've been in the majors for 12 years. So I'm sorry that he felt that way. That is not a great sign specifically for him and how he feels about this. But at the end of the day, I mean, third time through the order with two lefties coming up, I totally understand taking him out. And it worked. The Giants put up zeros for the next few innings. So anyway, Giants play again tonight. I don't know who's going to start the game for the Giants. And frankly, it doesn't really matter because, you know, just get used to it. A pitcher is going to be on the mound. No matter who it is, their job is to get outs and help the team win a baseball game. And that's what we're going to see tonight. They're going to try to win a baseball game by any means necessary. But I guess we do know that Ross Stripling is on the mound for the Dodgers. Makes me think, really, that this was gamesmanship because we expected a bunch of lefties. I think the Giants are better suited right now against lefties. Dodgers go with a righty at the last minute in game one, and now they've got a righty again in game two. So feels like they did that on purpose, and it may well work because the Giants aren't as well suited to face righties at this point in time. Specifically missing Belt, it has like a ripple effect where a bunch of guys end up in there that wouldn't otherwise be in there. Next, I want to talk about CBDMD. It doesn't matter if you're a professional athlete, a stay-at-home parent, or you spend 8 hours a day in an uncomfortable office chair. Everyone needs support to make it through the day. Luckily, our friends at CBDMD have an amazing duo that can help you relax, regroup, and recharge when life gets chaotic. CBD Freeze with Menthol is an award-winning product that offers instant cooling relief for muscles and joints in a convenient and easy-to-use roller or a shareable squeeze tube. CBD Recover combines CBD with inflammation-fighting compounds like arnica and vitamin B6 to give you the support you need where it matters most. And to make it even easier to try this amazing duo of topicals and everything else CBDMD has to offer, they're offering all our listeners here at Locked On Giants 25% off for your next order when you use promo code LOCKEDONMLB at checkout. Once again, that's cbdmd.com, promo code LOCKEDONMLB for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD oil products from CBDMD. All right, that is all the time we have for today. Remember, to get this show every weekday, you need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Kaspic. That's K-A-S-P-I-C-K. We'll be back with another episode on Monday talking about three additional games. I mean, this could go a number of different ways, obviously. The Giants could be 3-1, 2-2, 1-3, or 0-4. So a lot of possibilities and a huge range of possible emotions on Monday. So anyway, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.